Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
To Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back. 9 o'clock, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Jeremy Wu joining us right now, ESPN contributor covering basketball prospects and the NBA draft as we get the ping pong balls tomorrow night, find out whether or not if we prayed hard enough for Victor. Jeremy, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well. Okay. So Victor Wembanyama, you wrote the piece on Victor Wembanyama and how he fits in with the Rockets. How does he fit in if James Harden is part of the situation here next year?
Yeah, I mean, I think if those two things were to happen, A, obviously a good thing. I think having a guy like Harden probably helps a little bit in the sense that, he'll take up a large part of the offensive workload, probably saves him a little bit from having to be the guy who takes every shot late in the clock. I think, the possibilities of those guys in ball screens, very interesting. I don't know that they would get into his way necessarily, right? But, or at least not any more than what's already on the roster.
Yeah. James absolutely facilitated an MVP. And, James looks like a different guy sharing the basketball. So maybe he'd be a good thing for Victor Wembanyama here.
Yeah, it's possible. And it all depends on what style they want to play what changes with the new coaching staff. But, at the end of the day, look, if you get Victor Wembanyama, everything else is secondary. Whatever else happens, you're still in a very good spot.
Jeremy, I want to ask you, is Wembanyama the type – I talked to an NBA executive who told me that he thought Wembanyama was going to be a little slower starter than maybe people were expecting just because of his strength and having to deal with stronger players. He just thought it was just going to be maybe a little bit slower. We had Yao Ming here, and it was a slower start for Yao, but it clicked in the same year. And Yao, figured it out pretty quickly. But I remember early on, he struggled with getting pushed off the low box because the game, can be a little more physical. Maybe not as much now. But is he the type of player, in your estimation, that you consider scrapping whatever you've done previously and hitting a different kind of rebuild around Wembanyama? Or do you fit him into what the Rockets are doing? In other words, their roster composition. Do you make wholesale changes to roster composition to make it a specifically built for Victor?
Yeah, that's no question to me. If you get him, I think you take some time and you see what everything looks like and how it fits. But ultimately, you get him, that's your guy. There's a reason why the hype is what it is with him. And then to your previous point, I do think there's an adjustment curve for all rookies, but I think he'll catch on pretty fast. I mean, it's not like, for example, but like you said with Yao Ming, different era in the NBA, he has to play in the post against these huge guys. Victor's not a post player. Victor is a perimeter player who happens to be really, really tall, right? So he comes in with the ability of being able to handle the ball and also be able to just shoot over people, which is something that's translatable. So I think there will definitely be some adjustment, but I think that's true for all rookies. So I think it would be unfair to, talk about him saying, oh, he would have a bigger adjustment than anyone else. I mean, he's playing professionally and dominating a professional league right now. in France. So
you're not worried at all about his slight build?
I mean, there's been how many players have we said are too skinny for the NBA, right? I mean, for injury purposes, yes, like it's possible. You know, again, anytime you're tall and you're mobile, I think there are injury risks that just come with stress injuries. But again, this isn't a guy who's going to be, you know, playing in the post and like hitting people all day. Like, I think you're, he's a guy who you're going to move around the floor and do new things with. And I think, again, it's not like he hasn't dealt with this already in terms of getting, you know, playing physically. Guys already do that to him in Europe. So, again, it's something that is part of the question, but it's not like a bug in the system. It's like you're taking him anyway, and you're going to make it work.
Is he the best number one pick since LeBron?
No question. I, in terms of what we know going into the draft, I mean, his profile, his skill level, at his size, everything about him, it's very unique. It's hard to compare him to people. But again, there's a reason why people talk about him the way they talk about him. It's not made up. You see him play for the first time, and you kind of realize why. So,
who are the comparisons in your estimation? We grew up watching a lot of basketball, and you see Kevin. You want to say Kevin Durant? John and I remember Ralph Sampson, which was years ago, but that was before the bigs really had the true handles. Is he a longer Trace McGrady? Like, I don't know. Can you make a comparison? He may be just a unicorn, one of one.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly prefer not to compare him to anybody, just because there's just never really been anyone with that template. I think in terms of style of play comparison, yeah. I mean, I think Kevin Durant is probably, and I'm not saying necessarily he'll be that good as a shooter, and certainly probably not right away, but in terms of being that size and being a fluid perimeter player at that size, I mean, Durant is really the only guy in modern history who's done it at that size. So, you know, defensively, you know, he's so tall. He covers a ton of ground. He will not, you know, he'll be better off defending as more of a power forward than a center. But I don't know. I mean, I think if you look at, I mean, look at the development curve of a guy like Anthony Davis, who came into the NBA, was also pretty skinny and also smaller than Victor and nowhere near as skilled as Victor. And, you know, it didn't take Anthony Davis very long to be a really, really, really good player. So I think you have to keep that in mind. Like, he's ahead of the curve relative to a lot of these guys were when they came out of college.
Jeremy Wu with us here. ESPN covers the NBA draft and college players. Is it crazy to think that the number two team might take Brandon Miller over Scoot?
Not crazy at all. I think it just depends who has the pick, but it's very much not a foregone conclusion.
What do you like about Scoot's game?
Scoot's very physically gifted. He gets downhill really well. Is going to be able to get into the paint and put pressure on the defense. And I think it can take longer for guys like that to adjust to the NBA. But you look at, you know, how De'Aaron Fox has developed for Sacramento, turned into a really, really good player. It's taken him a little bit of time. I think, you know, that's the type of really longer tail development you could see with a guy like Scoot as he adjusts to the NBA and learns to really play his position. But from the perspective of, is this guy physically ready? 100%. Like, he's already going to have a pronounced athletic advantage right when he gets into the NBA.
Jeremy Wu joins us right now, and this is going to be a really interesting. You know, every year people say it's the top. You know, it's a 3 or 4 man draft, a 5 man draft, and yet we saw Walker Kessler from way back have a huge impact on this last year's draft. How do you view this draft in terms of the depth of what we're looking at and where guys can help? How deep can we look for guys to help an NBA team within a year or 2 years?
Yeah, well, I think obviously there's one very, very, very good player. I think you would put Scoot and Brandon Miller probably will go 2 and 3 in some order. And then and it kind of flattens out. When we see drafts like that, typically that means teams are going to make mistakes. There will be guys who slip who end up having very good careers, who get underdrafted. I think that's part of what makes it interesting this year, is because there is a lot of difference of opinion. It's very flat, so to speak, in terms of, like, differentiation, within tiers. But I do think there'll be good players who get drafted in the teens, maybe even the 20s, sort of due to that that nature, right? I mean, we have a lot of freshmen who are younger and not that proven, and then there are some interesting guys further down in the draft who have more experience and are maybe not getting talked about as much because they're maybe more boring names or just older players, and this happens every year. But I do think that there will be some steals to be had a little bit later, too.
That's Jeremy Wu with us this morning here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. ESPN contributor covering basketball prospects and the NBA draft at Jeremy W-O-O, at Jeremy Wu. Jeremy, thanks for your time. We really appreciate it. Look forward to tomorrow night. It's going to be real interesting for you to see who comes out of here and in what order and how this is going to all play out. We're really looking forward to it tomorrow because there's a chance that Victor's coming here.
Good luck.
Appreciate it. Jeremy Wu with us this morning on ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Just a little bit, Mark Berman is going to be joining us as he retires from television next month. Next month will be his last month in Houston television. We will hear from him in just a little bit. Right now we're hearing from Houston Powder Coaters. These people are unbelievable. I mean, I was driving by on actually, we had to take a detour off I-10 yesterday coming back from Louisiana. And there was this gas station that had all of these old, rusty gas pumps outside. I mean, like antiques that looked unbelievable. And the first thing I thought of was, man, you need to go to Houston Powder Coaters because they can clean all those up and make them look like new again. And if you've got something that's metal, that's rusted out, that just doesn't look good anymore, you want to make it look great. If it's patio furniture or any kind of car part or any kind of like old antique thing like that, like a gas pump and all a different kind of signage or whatever that you want to make look new again as opposed to old and rusty and terrible, well, I got the place for you. It's Houston Powder Coaters because they can do it all. If it's metal, they're going to sand it down. They're going to make it look. They're going to primp and they're going to prime and they're going to make sure that it looks just beautiful. Over 100 different colors in stock, and they can actually make any color that you want. If you're patio furniture, your car part, or whatever metal thing that you have is old and you need it refurbished, there's one place to go, HoustonPowderCoaters.com, 281-676-3888, 281-676-3888, or HoustonPowderCoaters.com.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I got some leftover business that we can tend to right now. Remember the guy that in What Did You Learn? So every day, if you want to go back and listen to it, every Monday we do What Did You Learn This Week from from 7:45 to about 7:58. Mm-hmm. And so you can go back and listen to it on podcast if you don't get a chance to hear it. If you're listening to us now and you're a late listener, it's worth your time. But one of our callers, Jimmy, said he had a neighbor who thought he was crocodile hunter Steve Irwin and tried to grab a venomous snake. And he said he didn't go so good. And I said I wanted to – basically, you've only got one sentence to say what you need mm-hmm. to say. And I wanted him to call back and tell us what happened. So he's unable to because his job started. But he said another neighbor is doing some gardening work and found a coral snake. She was about to kill it with a shovel because it's venomous. So Steve Irwin wannabe sees this and says he can save it and move it to another location.
Why?
He brought out a pillowcase – and was picking it up slowly. At first, looked like he was a hero, till the head whipped around and latched into his palm. He shook it loose and was screaming. The snake still died because lady whacked it, and the bitten neighbor literally started doing the Peter Griffin knee injury where he breathes and hisses. Is that what it's like? He didn't want to tell his wife, but lady neighbor called 911. She didn't want him dying on her yard and getting sued. He was rushed out to the med center. Fortunately for him, he got assistance right away. He has some swelling and discoloring, but don't know more beyond that. We'll try to find out more if I can. So that's what happened. I'm not going to play hero with a snake. I'll just tell you right now.
Nope.
If you got a snake, I'm going to get the shovel and I'm trying to cut its head off.
Yep. I don't want any.
That's what I'm trying to do.
No, thank you.
I'm not trying to grab a snake from behind. I'm not trying to entice it with one hand so I can reach around and snatch it with the other or do anything slick like that. That's not happening. Why would I mess with a snake?
No.
Why am I going to mess with snakes or spiders unless they get me while I'm trying to kill them? Okay. Well, you know, that's just, that was a battle. But I'm not going to ever, and I already know you don't like snakes.
Oh, no, 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 no.
I hate snakes.
Rats and snakes.
You ever sat on a toilet thinking a snake could come out of the bottom of the toilet? I've thought that before.
I've never lived in, you know, in Africa or somewhere.
Just a water snake somehow got into the plumbing?
Nope.
Or somebody who didn't like you maybe put a snake water moccasin in there?
Yeah, someone put a water moccasin in my toilet. I don't have any friends like that, really.
You don't have any enemies?
I don't. I have some enemies.
Well, do now that you admitted you wouldn't help somebody crap their pants in a bar get out of the bar.
I said I couldn't carry them.
But you would tell people about it on the radio.
Oh, I would, absolutely.
Maybe they'll drop a water moccasin. So you've never, ever sat down and thought, I know I'm not the only one. It's impossible. Other people listening
have had to look in there to see first. Yeah, every time, actually.
No, I've been sitting there just thinking, what if a snake comes up through the sewage system right now? I mean, and I feel so... No.
My bigger, much bigger fear is being in an outhouse.
And being having it turned over. Not an outhouse. A
porta-potty.
Porta-potty.
Yep.
Mine is just having to go to the bathroom when only porta potties are there. It's not being turned over. It's that I got to be in. Like whenever we go to golf events, and we're usually there on a Thursday, which is great because we're early in.
Yeah,
I can't imagine being there on a Sunday.
Speaking of porta potties, let's talk about the Texans.
Wow.
Well, I mean, they have porta potties out there when they have practices and stuff, and they have porta potties out there. So, D'Amico Ryans, you've got rookie minicamp going on, right? And D'Amico Ryans is out there. We see C.J. Stroud out there. We see Will Anderson out there. And D'Amico actually did talk about the primetime games. He said about the schedule, okay? He gave the keys to the schedule. And he also talked about not having any primetime games. Here's D'Amico Ryans, our head coach, your hero.
We're excited about the schedule and where we are, you know, with that schedule, right? Not having any primetime games and all the, you know, that's the one thing we kind of look forward to. And the one thing that I've learned as I've just looked at is for us as a team, we have to go out and earn our right to be in those primetime moments. So it's a good opportunity for our team to just go out, just put our head down and work and just to prove where we belong. So excited about it.
Well, you know what? There is something to that. But there's also something to the fact that D'Amico Ryans, there's three other teams that don't have any primetime games, although the Jaguars have the Falcons have to travel to they have to travel overseas. So the Colts, right? Don't they have an overseas game?
Colts have a game against the they have a game in Germany.
In Germany. And so the Falcons are playing.
Texans have had one game ever, right?
Because
that's when Deshaun jumped over somebody. I think it was Jaguars. Remember when he leapt over somebody in that game?
It was great because the game was over at 11 o'clock in the morning. It was perfect.
Yeah, but that was back when they were winning games.
Any more time. Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure that was back when they were winning, when Bill O'Brien was leading us to the promised land.
Yeah. But here's the thing the coaches love is knowing exactly where. I remember when Dana got here, his first season, they played on Saturday, then Friday, then Thursday, and they played three games in 19 days, and trying to get ready and changing up your schedule and changing up schedules for all the guys and all your coaches and when they're going to watch film and how they're going to. The one thing for this, for D'Amico Ryans here, is first of all, you're playing a lot of crappy teams that have first-year quarterbacks.
Right.
That you know, because you're playing the last game play schedule and you're playing the NFC South. But he knows every week is the same. There's only one game that you don't play at noon, and that's a 3:05 game.
Oh, you're on your body clock now. Don't worry about that.
They're going to have the best body clock in the league, period.
I'll bet you nobody else has this.
Nobody.
I'll bet you they're the only ones.
They are.
It's almost impossible. You have to have the right, like, except for...
Because they don't even have to travel to the West Coast. Not one West Coast game.
How is that possible?
Because they're not playing the West is coming here. Denver is coming here. That's a 3:05 game. They are coming here, and that's the only game you play against the West because you have AFC North and the NFC South. You do not have one West Coast game. This is unbelievable, the schedule.
Yeah.
This is
I've never seen anything like this.
Yeah.
Where you have one game that's not noon. I've never seen this before. Because you don't even have national. Yeah, you don't have national games either. So you have one. I've never seen it like this ever.
No,
never.
Every except
you'll see
one.
Three. You'll see at least three threes and a seven. At least.
Yeah. Not
this year.
Not this year. All noon. 1:00-3:00 game. Guess what? Body clock. Texans win. They don't have to. They don't have a short week ever. They don't have a Thursday game. They don't have to worry about Monday night. They don't have to worry about anything. They got noon every week, week in and week out. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So, you know what? It could be an advantage. It could be a huge advantage.
Are you coming around to the drive for seven?
No, I'm not. I'm not. Heaven, no.
I think by the time the season, you're going to hear some good stuff about C.J. Stroud. You're going to feel some positive vibes, and you're going to take. Now, I will admit. Going from the over-under last year was 4.5, going to 6.5, it may not sound like much, but it actually is a lot. I mean, if you want to go from 3 to 7 wins, that's doubling your win, more than doubling your win total. The total on the Texans should be 5.5.
Mm-hmm.
And now maybe they make you pay a little bit more for 6, or you make it 6 flat, which they don't like doing because they want you picking a side. Now, would you play 6 flat? If it was 5.5, would you play 6? 7's a lot.
Yeah.
But if it's 5.5, would you play 6?
I'm going to wait and see. I'll wait this year. Let's see if we make a little improvement. Then
see? You got a chance. You don't want to miss out on that money.
Yeah.
Like, you sold early on Novo, and now you're trying to get back.
No, I bought it back.
Buy back the Texans.
Yeah.
Buy it back.
Yeah.
You got to get on this stock before it goes up.
NVO is a much better buy than
get
the Texans.
Get on the stock before it goes
if you
up,
heard.
John.
NVO is a much better buy than the Texans right now. As far as D'Amico taking a look at these rookies, here is D'Amico on his first impression of these guys.
First thoughts of the guys that we've drafted and all the guys that work, they're eager, right? They're eager to work. They're excited to work. They're hungry to get better. And you know, today with the rookie minicamp starting, what we try to get accomplished out of rookie minicamp is just for our guys to get acclimated to what we're doing, right? There's a lot of, you know, different communication, right? It's the simple things for these guys, just getting in the huddle, saying a play call, coming out of the huddle. It's the simple things that those guys have to get used to that's different from the college game where a lot of things are coming from the sideline, a lot of pictures, a lot of signal-based things, and they're not used to verbalizing and communicating a lot. So for us, it's like we're taking them back a couple steps to huddling, making sure they're speaking loudly when they're in the huddle, offensively and defensively, and making sure as a quarterback and as linebackers, making sure that they are commanding those huddles. So it was a good first day, good initial work with those guys. Excited to see how they can come out tomorrow and just see where they got better.
And this is a wild thing, but it's what NFL teams have talked about for quite a few years now. And it's always, when I'd have these conversations and they say this, it never gets easy for me to realize that D'Amico Ryan's just told you that they have to learn how to huddle and call plays. Things you learn in junior high football. You have to learn how to huddle up because a lot of what's happening that you see in college football is happening in high school football too. In Texas, big high schools, you are out there. There's not really a huddle. You're out there. You're getting you line up. You get calls from the sideline. You get play, you know, hand gestures. You get signs, whatever the case may be. They have to learn how to take snaps under center.
Yeah,
some of them.
They don't do that.
They have to learn how to call a play, which it is extreme. You don't just – Cam Newton got made fun of, I remember, a lot. Like, Sean Pendergast made fun of him a lot for his play call that was 36. Do you remember that? He told John Gruden, I think, on a quarterback camp that, like, oh, that play, we just call that 36. And but that was the simplicity of what Gus Malzahn was doing at the time that helped help make him successful.
Right.
Like the simplicity. College football is very simple. When you get in and you hear, have you ever seen Steve Mariucci also do that with the with the quarterbacks? His Mariucci camp.
Yep.
Okay, so we're doing a 9 drag, 26 Y, X cross, 9 spider, and then he turns a board over. He shows him what to do. He turns a board over, and he starts talking to Max Dugan. And then Max has got to remember the play and how to call it. Like, that is some of the – and one of the things NFL teams will do is they want to test you when they meet you at the combine. They'll have you see how you get plays out because it's a big deal.
It is a big deal. It is a big deal. And it's like they're starting all over. All right, we got a break because Mark Berman's going to join us on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But I'm talking about Patrick Chastain. There's another legend in this city. It's a legendary name, a legendary family in the car business. They're just the best. I just love everything about the Chastain way that they do business. We talk about this all the time. It starts at the top on down with integrity. It starts at the top on down with making sure that you are that the client can't be happier. If the client is happy, the client is going to come back. I've already bought a couple of cars from Chastain for, and I don't get any better deals than you guys do, okay? I get the same deal that you guys do. Here's my deal, is they're going to put me in a vehicle at the price that I need to pay every single month. They're going to get me exactly what I want. They're not going to add anything on. They're not going to mark anything up. I ordered mine in the portal. I ordered mine in the portals are open now for a lot of different vehicles as well. I ordered mine through the portal, and I didn't pay MSRP. That's just the rules. That's what's going to happen every single time for you. It happened for me. And when I got that deal from Chastain Ford, I got the service that I got. I said, this is where I'm going to be forever in the Chastain family. You're going to join the Chastain family as well. And when you do, I promise you will be back because that's just what happens every single time. ChastainFord.com on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown Chastain. Thing forward.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, when we heard on Friday, it was unbelievable that out of nowhere, Mark Berman on Twitter said that he was going to be retiring from Channel 26. And immediately, I mean, the first thing that I thought of was, I don't know how that could possibly happen. Listen, people, I don't know anyone in any business that works as hard, that wants to win as bad, that is as he is always, always, always on the go, never stop. He wants to get that story worse than anyone I've ever seen, and then he's going to just shut it down. And Mark Berman is joining us right now on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Mark, welcome in. How are you?
Pretty good. Glad to join you guys.
How in the world, Mark, are you going to go from, you know, as many calls as you make, as much as you do every single day, to nothing? How are you going to do it?
No idea, but I'll figure it out.
Are you at all, when you go on vacation, are you able to relax or no?
No chance.
You said, when do I go on vacation?
Well, when you go on vacation, do you relax?
Well, I haven't been on one in 28 years.
Wait a minute.
That's insane. No, he's telling the truth.
You have not been on a vacation in 20?
Not really. We first got married 30 years ago, September. We went on vacation that year, and then 2 years later, and then. But the problem is, my wife will tell you, every time I try to take a day off or really be off, the phone explodes with something, you know. And if you understand the way this all works, if somebody's calling you with some information or a story idea or a tip or something or other, and you don't take their call or you don't call them back, they don't call you back. So it doesn't work that way. Your life, the events dictate, and unfortunately they dictated an awful lot for a long time.
Mark Berman with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Who gave you, okay, so you've been, what, 36 years now? At
37 at Fox.
37 at Fox. Where were you before?
K-I-K-K.
Yeah, where were you before? What was your first job in media?
Well, okay. My resume doesn't take very long to tell you about. I've been in this business 45 years. I've had four jobs. I don't count, if you don't count the job I was on in radio in Houston doing news at the old KAUM KXYZ in the summer of 78, but I hadn't graduated from UH yet. I graduated in August of 78. Then I got a job with the CBS affiliate in Odessa, Texas. I was there for 18 months. Made a mistake, took a job in Florida, which was didn't work out, but I was there for like 6 weeks. And then Kick Radio called and offered me a full-time job to come home. So I did. And I was there for 6 years in. I got the job at Fox, but I kept both jobs for 2 years because when I got the job at Fox, I was the weekend reporter, sports anchor. And then two years later, they promoted me. So after that, I left Kick. I was at both places for 2 years.
Yeah, and I told the story on Twitter. I mean, you can only do it in so many things, and I've mentioned it here this morning on the radio. You were a guy that knew stuff going on with University of Houston. Like, you know, I would get a phone call. It would be a phone call to my house. I'd pick it up, and it'd be Mark Berman. And I'm in high school, and there's a lot of stuff going on at U of H, and Mark had the scoop, and Mark was talking to my dad, who was a coach at the time, and so. So you were hustling like from a very, very early age. And did you find that there was anyone else like you in Houston when it came to wanting to get the information and being as proactive as you were and not just coasting? Like, when did you realize that was what you had to do?
Well, I realized early on that's what I had to do. I don't know about anybody else. It'd be what they want, what you want, and what you're going to do to get that is maybe two different things. For somewhere along the way, early on, I realized that relationships are everything. You got to build them. So you got to be there, right? You can't sit at home. You can't sit in the studio. So I thought everything was important because you don't know where you're going or what you're doing. Where is that going to develop? And I've had some crazy things happen out of nothing. So I just knew early on that was the way to go.
I want to ask you this because I think this is interesting. You've heard a lot of information over the years that you couldn't use. How do you make this decision about, like, when do you learn how to use information and how not to? Because obviously that's how you also not using information and just keeping it for background is how you build enough trust to get those stories in the future. How long did it take you to figure out how to maneuver around information you're getting?
Well, it doesn't take long to figure out that integrity is everything, okay? So I've always said, No story is worth a relationship. That's how I've lived for 45 years. So if you live by that, yeah, there's a zillion things that I had that I didn't use because I couldn't. And you never, it's the old cliche, you don't burn bridges. But no story is worth a relationship. If you live by that, you'll be fine.
Mark Berman with us here. Scoop on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Is there one scoop that you're more proud of? If I said which is your best, is there one that comes to mind?
You know, I knew John, you were going to ask that question, or Lance, or both of you, and this goes back 45 years, so I can't remember everything, but I would say, perhaps two stand out. Maybe when we reported first that Tillman Fertitta was buying the Rockets. Okay, now remember. A lot of times these guys who buy teams, you've never heard of them, or they're well-known in their industry, but not to the media or the layman. Tillman Fertitta was already an iconic figure, and he bought the Rockets. He became an even bigger icon. So I feel like that's one. We were the first to report that Bob McNair, the late, great Bob McNair, was going to try to bring the NFL back to Houston. That was pretty darn big, but that was in the very beginning. He had not succeeded at that point. But there's a lot of stuff. But those two maybe stand out.
Mark Berman here with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Is there anyone that stands out that was more instrumental for you early on in your career?
Oh, I don't know. Talking about stories early on, gosh. I can't remember.
Did you have a mentor?
Learning from everybody.
The guy who brought you over to Channel 26, I noticed in your story, you talked about him that he was big for you.
No, the guy that was, he's no longer living. That guy wasn't really a mentor. He just came to me and asked me if I thought what I was doing at Kick, could we do it at Fox? And I said, why not? And so they auditioned me, tried me out in the spring of 86. And that's how it all started.
Did you ever think about, because you would be, you might have been one of the great investigative news reporters ever. You chose sports. Why did you choose sports as opposed to news, which would make, you know, which has got a lot more hard-hitting and breaking stuff?
When I was growing up in Hempstead, Texas, I dreamed of being a sportscaster on TV in Houston. I used to sit in the back of my dad's store and pretend to be doing the sports when I was 8, 9, 10, 11 years old, whatever. So that's what I remember. I never once wanted to do news. That was just what I wanted to do.
Hmm. Yeah, but I'm Mark Berman too, because that's what I wanted to do. And Mark was this guy who was hustling doing this. Then I had Bill Worrell, who I'd watch on TV for years and years, doing Cougar stuff, doing Rocket stuff. I had Ron Franklin. I had all with Mustache Show at Channel 11. No, Craig Roberts. I mean, I can go through all the lists. Yeah. Somebody who grew up here, Mark is part of the, and I wanted to be on sports also. I didn't know about television. I wanted to be in sports, so I would practice doing stuff at games. And so Mark is one of those guys who had an influence on me and actually helped me coming in when I was just moving back from Louisiana here. I wasn't even in sports, but Mark was a guy who knew my dad and wanted to try to help me out a little bit when I got here. And so you did tell me something. I told you this on the phone the other day. You told me, you gave me some great information. Even when you have the story and the information, if you don't go to the team and get it verified, they can make you look stupid. They can intentionally make you look bad. And that's why you've always got to have that, two sources. And there's rules of engagement that have kind of gone away now in media, unfortunately.
I would agree with that for sure.
Yeah, Lance, you're sitting next to a guy who breaks that all the time. Me.
I'll tell you one of my favorite stories was when I was able to report first where John Granato's kid was going to play college football. How about that?
Yep, he
beat you to it. You didn't even know, John.
And yeah, absolutely.
Yes, he did.
He was the source. Did you break the cat story?
Do what now?
Did you do the cat story first?
The cat story.
Which story is that?
That Rice recruited JT through his cat. Oh, you don't remember?
No, I didn't.
Oh, yeah, that. Yeah.
I think that's right.
Yeah, you had that, Mark. And that turned into, that was at Sports Illustrated. It was all over the country. Look up JT Granato's cat.
Right? Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. It was a huge story.
Sox?
Yeah, White Sox. Mark Berman with us here. Do you fish? What are you going to do? Well, how can you sit around all day long when you're done with this?
Well, first of all, I'm not going to work. My wife has put up with this for 30 years. So, as I've said to a few people, it's my turn to give back. So I'm going to be there for her, whatever she needs. She's been there for me for 3 decades.
Oh, yeah.
It's my turn.
How many dinners have you left to take a phone call?
Oh, my goodness. well, look.
Has your phone ever died, by the way? Have you ever had your phone die? And what did that do to you as a person?
Well, I'm sure it did, but I'm going to tell you about one story. You'll understand why. How crazy this life can be. It was a couple of years ago. My daughter and her husband were with their family, his family. So it's me and my wife and my son having Christmas Eve dinner. My phone was turned upside down. I couldn't see the screen. So I turned it over. About 10 minutes later, I look over there, and Marcus Sasser, the best player on the UH team, announced he had a broken foot and was out for the year on Christmas Eve. No. My wife looked at me and she just smiled. I got up, walked away for about an hour and a half, and then went back to dinner. But that's the life.
An hour and a half.
Right there.
That's the life.
An hour and a half.
Mark Berman has led for, yeah. That was a good question. Who gets your Rolodex? Who's going to get all your numbers?
Nobody. I help my daughter whenever she needs help. My daughter works at Fox. She's a segment producer.
Oh.
She does crossover stuff.
There it is.
Right, there you go.
Keep it in home. Hey, on a serious note, you were late to, relatively late to Twitter because you didn't really, a lot of us did. Well, it was fun back then.
No, you're right. I was late. I was 2 years late.
No, you're...
It says on there, on my Twitter account, it says 2009. But I didn't start till 2011.
Right, and I didn't even remember that you started that early. I thought it was actually later than that. But the question I have for you is, because I feel like once I'm out of sports, I don't care, I won't use Twitter anymore anyway, except to catch up with some people. Are you done? Like, if you're not using it for sports, are you done? Can we expect an Instagram account where you take pictures of some of the food you're having, or dogs, or you gardening,
well,
or whatever?
I have an Instagram account. I just don't use it. No, I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, if I go on vacation and see something cool, I'll put it out there. You know, we're going to go on vacation this summer somewhere.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, I believe it.
No, you believe it.
When's the last day?
June 12th.
June 12th, the last day. Did you just realize this recently, or has this been in the works for a while?
About a year.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I've said this. On June 12th, when I go to sleep that night, I'm going to do something I haven't done since I got my first cell phone. I'm going to turn the phone off because it's always on. And if you follow me, you know there's been some middle-of-the-night stories that you can't sit on anything. You get it, you go. And so I'm turning the phone off when I go to sleep that night. And I've not done that. The only time my phone's ever off is when you have to turn it off for updates. You know?
John and I watch a lot of documentaries and shows on TV. If this were a series of Mark Berman's life, the last scene would be a close-up of him
turning it off.
Powering down and the sliding right of the iPhone, and it's powers down. That would be the last shot of the Berman documentary.
You're right. You're right.
It's the turning off, the symbolic turning off of the phone at night.
That's it.
And by the way, guys, there's one thing you haven't asked me about.
Yeah.
I have, about the losses, I promise you, I have lost more than anybody.
What do you mean?
On stories, I lost. Try on everything. If you try, you're going to lose a lot, and I do, a lot.
You have
lost. You know Michael Jordan missed more game winners than he made.
Don't even think about putting me in the paragraph of that guy. I'm just telling you.
Well, you're the Michael Jordan of scoops in this city, that's for sure. That's for sure. You're the Jordan. You're on the Mount Rushmore of scoops. There's no question about that. We appreciate you, man. Thanks.
But this is a Cougar, too. So this has got to feel great for you to, at the end of your career, you see NIL is, and I don't know how you feel about NIL, but we're seeing guys step to the forefront for University of Houston for an NIL standpoint. You see Kelvin Sampson bring the basketball team back, and that was right in the heart of you beginning your sports career in Houston was Phi Slamma Jamma, if my memory serves correctly.
I covered every game of the Phi Slamma Jamma playoff era at Kick Radio. But NIL and the transfer portal are a nightmare.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nightmare.
Especially for for you. It's ridiculous. Okay, would you rather be at a championship game or get a big scoop?
It's easy.
All right, look, first of all, you always want the teams you cover to do well. But I'll tell you a story about that sort of thing. So way back when, Fox used to use their sports directors as their sideline reporters, if need be, for a game. And they called and asked me to cover a game on Sunday at NRG or Reliant then. And I told them, I said, you want me to do this? Fine. But if something develops, I'm out. I'm not going to do it. And sure enough, a story developed that I had me at the airport at noon that day. So our number three guy at the time was Matt Samsel. I told him, I can't be there. Matt's going to do it. And he did. So does that answer your question?
You gave up a big game to go to the airport to meet somebody.
And because of that, when they called the following year, I told him, Matt did it once. It's only fair that he continue if you want him to. And they did. So I never did it.
That's so funny.
Not that way, no.
Yeah, you ain't like nobody else. Everybody else, give me that national gig as opposed to.
Well, it wasn't national, but whatever.
Whatever. Right, right. That's Mark Berman. Scoop right here on ESPN 97.5. Got to watch June 12th. Going to be his last ever show on Fox 26. Great stuff, man. We appreciate you. Congratulations on an unbelievable career.
Thanks, Mark.
Is the check in the mail?
The check is always in the mail.
It is. That's Mark Berman right here.
Look at this. I just found an old video of you from 30 years. Here's young Mark Berman.
Look at all that hair and that beard. What the?
Yeah, that's the Mark Berman. That's
He looks like Roman from Succession.
30 years of Mark Berman. Look at him hustling
there. Out there hustling with
George Foreman.
With that tightly cropped beard.
George, everyone's got their bags. You're constantly at airports.
Hey, you mentioned George Foreman.
Yeah.
When Muhammad Ali died, it was about 10:30 at night, maybe. I pulled over to McDonald's on the north side, called George. He answered, gave me a fabulous interview. About his friend.
You're in the backyard with Olajuwon. I mean, that's not everyone got invited to sit in a chair across from Olajuwon and do an interview.
Nope. A lot of greats.
not anybody I even know of other than you.
Well, that's great stuff. Mark, we appreciate it. We got to go.
See you guys.
That's Mark Berman right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Time for me to talk about T-Box Texas. Time for me to talk about what they're doing over there. Daniel and Catherine and all the great people over at T-Box Texas. They're just really, really good at what they do. And here's the deal is you had rain all weekend long. I hope you wanted to play golf. You couldn't play yesterday because we had rain in the morning. Well, you can go to T-Box Texas. Just go to tboxtexas.com, put in that you want the bay for whatever amount of time. Hey, if you're a golf instructor and you're looking for a place to get, you know, people where you can hit, where you don't have anywhere to work, or you are or somebody that's trying to teach somebody how to play, this is a great place to go and do it. And they can see different golf courses. They can get into the game. They'll love the game, seeing all these different places. But it's a place where you can go. I don't know that any country club's going to let you on the range to go teach a kid how to play golf. You can teach them how to play at T-Box Texas. Whatever the case may be, you want to have a party. You want to have a meeting. You want to join a league. All of these things. It's a bar. It's got TVs. It's got everything that you could possibly want right there in the League City area. You're looking for a great place to go get your golf on. Rain, shine, day, night, cold, warm, hot, whatever it is. TEEBoxTexas.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
Isn't it weird?
This is so weird.
Time now for News of the Weird on the Bench.
Boy, what the hell's wrong with you?
Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
This is going to be a quickie. We went a little long with Mark Berman, but that was great. Hope you enjoyed that interview. News of the Weird. Lance, the Loch Ness Monster Hunter had this quote. I thought this job would be easier. Do you think it would be easy to find the Loch Ness Monster? Why do you think he thought that?
Well, I don't know why he thought that was going
to
be easy.
I think that's going to be one of the harder jobs in the world if you want to know the truth.
Same thing with Sasquatch.
Yeah.
It's easier right now finding UFOs.
Yeah.
That's way easier. The government will just tell you, we got some.
Here's some video. The government will give you videos of them, right? Of that. But the Loch Ness Monster? No, I'm sorry. Okay, there's a Montreal dog park, Lance. Do you want to bring your dog there?
I like Montreal, sure. I want to bring him there.
Yeah? Well, apparently your dog better not bark because you could get between a $500 and $2,000 fine if your dog barks at a dog park.
I don't want to bring splits there. He's going to 100% bark.
Do you think they're being a little bit tough on the dogs?
Somebody's on edge. When they made that, somebody made that after they just woke up because their dog was their dog barked and woke up and they're so tired of it because their dog barks at everything. Like one of my dogs is like that, and if one dog barks, both dogs have to bark.
It's all of them. An IBM employee is suing the company. Do you know why? He's been on sick leave for 15 years. He's been on sick leave. I repeat, he's been on sick leave from IBM for 15 years. He's suing them. Because they haven't given him a pay raise.
He's the definition of a squatter.
You want to talk about...
He's a business squatter.
And not only that...
How have they let this guy go? Is this the guy with the stapler on office?
15 years he's been on sick leave, and he's suing them because they haven't given him a pay raise.
Yeah. That's definitely the guy with the swing line stapler.
Well, that is the definition of gall, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm him, I'm just saying, you know, okay, I'll just take whatever you guys give me. Okay, I'll take it. Last one, a woman, 99 years old, she's realizing her dream of facing a circus knife thrower. She finally got to be the person that a knife thrower throws their knife at a circus.
They don't throw it at them.
Well, around
not,
them.
Not if,
around
not
them.
If they're a good circus knife thrower.
Well, around them.
I have seen people, I just saw a video.
Is that a lifelong dream of yours?
Where the person puts their hand on a dartboard. I mean, if that video even pops up, you know it didn't end well. How come we don't ever see the video where, hey, it worked out. Somebody threw the no, it always is going to get stuck in a hand.
Yeah, no. Is that a lifelong dream of yours? Somebody throwing knives at you?
No. Well, it's never.
When you're nine. If I'm 99 and that's my lifelong dream, I lived a pretty crappy life. Okay? I lived a pretty crappy life. We're done, but I got to talk right now about, hey, how about this? How about casino gambling? Well, I was at the casino this weekend, but my casino trip wasn't changed. It actually went down, but you can go to the casino every single day. MyBookie.ag has a truly realistic casino experience featuring slots, progressive jackpots, live dealer action, all from the comfort of your own home. They got weekly blackjack tournaments and a brand new collection of high-end games for a chance at real cash rewards. The MyBookie Casino provides a Las Vegas experience with all the travel and expenses without all that. Without it all. And the best part, you don't even need to wear pants. Start your MyBookie Casino adventure today with a generous sign-up bonus using promo code BET975. That's promo code BET975 to secure yourself a sweet deposit bonus. And that's not all. Their loyalty program will shower you with free spins, cashback offers, lots of exclusive VIP perks. The more you play, the more you win. You want casino gambling? You got it right here on your computer at MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975.
What do you have to say to everyone who still considers the Astros cheaters?
Your mama.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.